cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
And a very hearty good election day morning to you. November 7th, the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Time to cast your ballots. Please do so. Take time out from your busy schedule. Go to the voting machine and pick the candidates of your choice. An important thing that we can do as Americans and perhaps the greatest country in the world. Adam Lepp here, the Computer Guy, welcoming you to a Tuesday morning of great live radio here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Not quite as big as the election of last year, where the Donald became President Donald, but we have Marion City Council members up for vote and many other important regional elections. Here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, we talk today's top and trendy technology topics. Regular commentator Nick CJ, as well as Brandon Oak, who hadn't been on for a few months, but he's back. Yes, he's back with interesting discussion about interesting technological innovations and gadgetry. He'll be along very shortly. Of course, we always take your emails, adam@WWGH1071.com. Would love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, always welcome. Here on The Talking Place, great radio 24 hours a day. WWGH 107.1 FM and broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. We haven't had Brandon Oak on in quite a while, so I guess we're due. He likes to talk about some of the latest and greatest in technological gadgetry. We're going to talk about that on today's episode of The Adam, the Computer Guy radio show. Of course, with the holiday season rapidly approaching, seems like it starts on Labor Day, but as far as I'm concerned, I'd say let's wait till December 1st. But the displays at Walmart and other local retailers would tell you different. So, taking a look at some of the latest in technological innovations, I bring Brandon Oak to the studio. Brandon, I guess you did a little research and was thinking about some of the items that might be most appropriate to talk about here on WWGH Radio. Of these gadgetries, if that's a word, what was the first item that you thought might be interesting for our listeners to hear about?
Well, the first one I had thought about was something I'd actually seen on Facebook. It's called, I believe, mind you if I don't pronounce this right, AmaBrush. It's essentially a hands-free mouth guard that essentially brushes your teeth within 10 seconds.
So a robotic tooth brusher. I tell you, Brandon, I'm not really a fan of brushing my teeth. I mean, I know it needs to be done. Not really one of my favorite personal hygiene activities. So this might be an interesting gift for me. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it'll do as thorough of a job as the old-fashioned way? Or is toothbrushing best left to the person whose hand is of the same body as that person's mouth? That is something which does not lend itself well to robotics, or is this worth a thought?
I would say it's entirely worth a thought. I mean, just overall, I would say a machine might have a better sense of cleanliness versus your... for example, say someone's in a hurry to brush their teeth, doesn't do quite as well as, say, this machine. In theory, obviously, it's got some proof to the pudding kind of thing, that it actually does its job better than, say, your normal old-school brushing, sadly.
So we have a robotic toothbrusher. What about a robotic dentist? Do we even need human dentists? Do you think a robot could do fillings or fit braces or do the things that your dentist might normally do? Would that put a dentist or dental hygienist out of business?
Well, it might put a dent into the dentist, but it's a different story. I suppose it might be a slightly bit more efficient, but you also need that kind of human aspect for accuracy and detail versus, say, a machine. I can't imagine some kind of robotic claw inside of your mouth or what have you, but this is not quite on that level, I should think.
So we're of the belief that it's nice to have things that are done by a computer or a robot, but no smartphone, no smart toothbrush is ever going to be as smart as an intelligent person. I guess the problem is that some people just aren't intelligent, and maybe that's where this idea comes from. What's the other item on your list of Christmas or other holiday gifts for the technologically inclined?
Here's another one. Yet again, it's always fun to see things on Facebook. It is called the eSight 3. Essentially, it allows those who are deemed legally blind to be able to see again. Essentially, it's think of it like it's very much like a Star Trek come to reality sort of thing.
So that's actually artificial vision. That's definitely intriguing.
Essentially, it's a very high speed, high definition camera that captures what the wearer is looking at such a rate, but doesn't cause dizziness or of the likes, so say like a VR headsets that you might have with your smartphone and such.
Do you think this could be the wave of the future, actually giving eyesight to people who are blind or very seriously of seriously poor vision? Certainly, I think it's something that people have fantasized about. And we have cochlear implants for people who are deaf or very hard of hearing. Now we're looking at providing vision to people who are blind. That's quite a revelation as I see it.
Well, when I say, again, legally blind, so it does not cure blindness, but it does help those who can still technically see, just obviously not quite as well as the rest. It's basically a very high speed camera. It's like, think of it like looking through your phone, taking pictures at that rate. But it's an interesting concept, at least. And it's fully functional, and it's on the market, actually, and it's they offer it to just about anyone, and cost isn't truly an issue.
So it's an item that we may be hearing more about in the future. Certainly the technology is in its infancy, but the idea is great.
And it does truly look like, I believe, enunciation, Geordi from Star Trek. It is literally like a visor across your eyes, so it might look strange for now, but I imagine in the future it will improve upon its tech and such. And yeah,
we're talking to an occasional correspondent here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, where we talk today's top and trendy technology topics. A gentleman's name is Brandon Oak, a longtime friend of mine and an occasional guest on the show. He hadn't been on in a while, so I thought we'd bring him in today. Talk about some technological items of interest as the holiday season approaches rapidly. What was another item, Brandon, that your research has brought into the forefront as a possible gift for the technologically inclined among us?
Well, here's one for those of us who either like 3D printing and such that might seem almost impossible to the usual consumer, so to speak. It's called the XYZ Printing DaVinci 3D Printer. Now, this is basically a miniature version of what you might have seen in videos and such. It has the values and features balanced, so to speak. Fairly simple to use for those of us not familiar with technology in such a sense, and reasonably priced, given technology can be very expensive, even for consumers.
So, price is always a factor. We like to treat ourselves and treat a loved one, but the wallet obviously pretty much has the final say. Before we get to the next item, Brandon, you and I have been inundated with news stories and bragging rights by our friends regarding the new iPhones. The new iPhone X, which costs as much as $999. Neither of us purchased the iPhone X, and I don't have any intention of buying one. I'm an Android guy anyway. Do you think that the new iPhone or any smartphone, Brandon, is worth $1,000? Do people just buy it because it's cool? Or perhaps there's a reason why they would plunk down 10 pictures of Ben Franklin to get this device.
I believe it's kind of a split, really. It's more or less, well, I guess there's a certain trend aspect, I imagine. However, with as far as I can tell, the technology that comes with the iPhone X is about 3 years behind Android. And I myself have somehow ended up with a newer version of an Android phone that apparently has features that have surpassed the iPhone, and that now I guess Apple is just now catching up. So I really can, I in my life, I can never possibly justify spending $1,000 for, in theory, older technology.
So is this $1,000 price tag more of a status symbol, and somebody wants the best technology to get an Android?
Essentially, yes. I mean, if you actually look at the specs, I would say Android has had Apple beat for some time now.
Like with me, Brandon, have any of your Facebook friends been bragging about the fact that they got the new iPhone and they're just so happy with it? And they're not talking about how much money they spent, but they just think they're just wonderful if they purchase the item.
And this is where I thank Facebook for the, I suppose, the laughing emoji for as a reaction, because basically that's what I react to it every time I see it, such a post.
So we'd be of the belief that there are better things to do with 10 pictures of Benjamin Franklin than purchase an iPhone 10.
Oh, certainly, especially, you know, there's many things I could think of to spend $1,000 than just a phone.
Or the iPhone X, where X stands for expensive, of course.
Why? No.
Talking with Brandon Oak here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Twice weekly feature on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Brandon talking about some of the technological gadgets which we've been seeing in social media, on websites, and other places that our eyes might be traveling to. What's another item, Brandon, that you found out about that you think our listeners might be interested in hearing about?
Well, I suppose there, we all know about wireless speakers and such like that, but this is a fairly new one that comes up. It's called the Ultimate Wonder Boom Speakers. That's what a fun name to say. It's very small, compact, just like most wireless ours. You can pair two of them up together if you'd like. Roughly about 10 hours of streaming time to play your media and such. Apparently, this is one of the higher end models of sound quality, so to speak, and I imagine the price is a little hefty for some, but it seems to be pretty legitimate, so to speak.
We've seen Bluetooth wireless speakers, and is this a better product? Is this the wave of the future, you think?
Ah, but here's the kicker. It is waterproof.
So it's waterproof. For example, we have recently had some heavy rains in mid and central Ohio, so could somebody go out with the speaker in the rain, not worry about the speaker not working because of a short or something? Is waterproof important for something like a speaker?
Well, in those instances that you either may drop it, or you could, in theory, I've never tested it myself, but if it does say waterproof, then I would suppose the warranty would say that, yes, you could walk around it with it in the rain if you so chose. It just, it was like phones nowadays that they show in commercials that you can drop in water and be perfectly fine. I imagine it's that along the same lines.
So people dropping their technology, getting it wet, or possibly in other ways damaged by their food or drink or by the weather, that's an important consideration, especially when you talk about a smartphone costing $1,000. Seems like everybody I know has an iPhone, has dropped it, and it has a cracked screen. And in terms of a speaker being waterproof, you're at a picnic using the speaker, it rains, and you don't want to think you have to take your technology and quickly put it in a bag or in the car. If it gets wet, that maybe that's okay. So maybe it's not a really bad idea.
Well, I mean, as far as, well, yes, that too, and I believe, again, never tested it, but I believe that, I'm sure its durability as far as dropping is hopefully improved. It never did not mention that in the specs of it, but as far as I can tell, I imagine that might be part of it.
Anything else that you saw in your quest to locate the coolest technology gadgets for the holiday season?
Well, of course, I would save the best for last, even though some might not agree with artificial intelligence and such. Now, the next one I had come up with and found is called the Enki Cosmo. Now, what a fun name. Relatively, actually, it's under $200. Yeah, not bad, considering it's a robot. It has a personality, and it's powered by artificial intelligence. It is self-aware, and it can recognize its so-called owner. It can express feelings, and it is ready to play games. Interesting. Very throwback to the 80s in that kind of sense. It can also utilize developer platform, and you can also add more features for those of us who are slightly more technologically capable, so to speak.
We've talked a little bit, Brandon, about autonomous or self-driving cars. Any thoughts about that? Would you purchase a self-driving car, or do you prefer that a Homo sapiens is at the wheel?
In the current state of things, and as far as I can tell, I would trust a person more so than a computer, if only for the fact that a person doesn't just shut down, so to speak.
Interestingly, something that I saw on CNN, a report recently released from the National Association of City Transportation Officials, a nonprofit group representing cities on transportation issues, has laid out a vision for the future of city streets as autonomous vehicles arrive. Now, it suggests limiting self-driving cars to 20 miles per hour and allowing pedestrians to cross a street anywhere, not just at an intersection. Of course, that would reduce the number of jaywalking offenses. I guess the idea being that a self-driving car is so smart, it would know when a person is crossing the street. Is that potentially dangerous? Do we need to relax some laws with self-driving cars, or they're getting a little too futuristic on us?
Well, I suppose that any technology is supposedly hackable, I guess, for lack of a better term. So again, so it's very hard to say whether or not an AI system would be quote unquote intelligent enough to know when someone's crossing it. I mean, there is always a possibility of malfunction, and yeah, of course, you know, someone who's not paying attention could do the same thing. However, I think it's a little bit ahead of its time, but in the next 10 years or so, I can see it more so being realistic.
Speaking with a regular correspondent here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, Brandon Oak, talking about some of the latest and greatest in technology gadgets, as well as some of the issues and items that we here in the IT business are pondering as we approach the holiday season. Any other devices, Brandon, that you found that might be interesting gifts for the high-tech person on your Christmas list?
Those are the top ones that I found. I'm afraid my research wasn't as expanded as I would like to have been, but there's always a few things popping up in my Facebook feed and such, so I'm sure in the future we'll have a few things more to talk about before the season is, buying and such.
One more question. Of course, on the next show, Mid-Morning Coffee Break, we talk about political issues, and of course, in 2017 with social media having an influence on everything that we do, technology and politics and current events pretty much go hand in hand. And current president, Donald Trump, seems to govern by tweet. For example, he talked about the transgender military ban in a tweet, and that's kind of how he decided that. It seems like he feels he doesn't have to go to his office. He can just sit there on his phone or whatever he uses and send out these Twitter messages, even on things that are considered to be major policy changes. Brandon, do you think that it's okay for a president or any other government official to govern by tweet, or should Donald Trump be ditching the computer and ditching the smartphone and maybe governing in the more traditional fashion?
I will just say this about the whole administration is that I mean, people can say what they want about it and think what they want, of course. I guess, in my sense, it's just kind of, we're given tickets to the freak show. I say we just enjoy it.
So that pretty much would sum it up. Do you think if Donald Trump were president, say, 40 years ago, before there were proliferation of personal computers, and before Mark Zuckerberg was even born, for goodness sakes, let alone there being tweeting, Would things be a little bit different if he had to govern in the old-fashioned way?
Well, I guess in that case, he'd be just mailing every letter to anybody he ever thought of instead of tweeting. Just a little bit slower.
So we have a different way of communicating, but be it something that might have been done in the 70s where you put a stamp on a letter and drop it in the mailbox, or you send out a tweet or Facebook message in 2017, I guess he'd find a way to do it.
They're just about as efficient as one or the other.
Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we close out this segment, Brandon?
No, I do believe that does it for now. I imagine I'll be back soon enough.
Well, it's been great having you with us as a correspondent here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Regular feature here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. So what are the very smart people at Google up to, you might ask? Well, they've done a favor. I would say it's probably a favor, but maybe more of an intrusion. You can make that decision on your own, relating to your furry friends, felines and canines, those kind of friends. Google has announced that its Photos service can now recognize your pets. Users will be able to see pictures of animals grouped alongside Homo sapiens. Now, of course, we're animals too, but, people. A little different than the furry friends, but some folks might say that our furry friends are smarter, and sometimes I tend to agree with that. Anyway, your pet in a Google photo can be labeled and searched for by name. Now, this means that you no longer have to type dog or cat into Google Photos search feature. The update rolls out in most countries this month. Now, while the app can distinguish a golden retriever from a Jack Russell Terrier, it seems to have more difficulty telling apart animals of the same color or breed. For example, CNN Tech did some testing, and this app thought five distinct Westies were all the same dog. Kind of insulting, if you ask me. It also grouped different gray Shih Tzus together and included a photo of a gray bunny in that cluster also. A bunny being confused with a Shih Tzu. Well, that's interesting. Anyway, the app nailed photos of an orange tabby cat. So it is good with some kinds of pets, but maybe not others, especially if you confuse a bunny with a small dog. A Google spokesperson said, if you have a number of pets that are the same breed and look quite similar, such as a few yellow labs, you might need to help Google Photos by removing photos of a misgrouped pet so the app can tell Lassie from Fido. The free photo sharing service, which started a couple of years ago, automatically organizes your photo library, such as grouping pictures by place or person. It has unlimited storage for compressed photos and a paid option for full-sized images. Earlier this year, Google Photos unveiled several new features, like the ability to print photo books and to automatically share some or all of your pictures with a significant other or friend. So Google Photos recognizing your pets, but sometimes making a boo-boo or two. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And also joining me on the program today, from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom, longtime friend and business associate of mine, regular correspondent on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show and the other shows that I do on this station, man with who's rarely at a loss. See, I was at a loss for words there, but he's rarely at a loss for an anecdote, interesting story, or technological information that will enhance your life, make your use of social media and other forms of electronic communication more fruitful, more fun, and maybe more profitable. It's Nick CJ. How are you today, Nick?
Very well, thank you, Adam. And you?
Oh, fairly fantastic for the fall. It seemed a little more fall-like. We had some rather torrential rains on Sunday, the 5th of November. But we were kind of due for a little bit of moisture, so not not a bad thing. They had actually a tornado in northwestern Ohio, but here we just got some pretty serious rain, which I think we needed, but there was some flooding in some areas. Has it been kind of wet over there in Wales, or are you getting just regular fall weather?
It's been wet. Of course, we call it autumn, not fall. So it's autumn here. But yes, we just had our first frost yesterday. So that's a sign that autumn stroke fall is here when you get a frost.
Well, a little change of seasons makes things just a bit more interesting. You had a little story to share with our listeners, Nick, something we feel will provide information, entertainment, or as they call edutainment, and perhaps some ideas for holiday gift giving. Of course, the holiday season rapidly approaching.
Well, we had a chat about robots the other day and about the citizenship being given to a robot in Saudi Arabia. And this is sort of a follow-on because it's about technology in the home. And it's about a project which has been researched. And the project's called Dolphin Attack. And researchers are warning of supersonic voiced command hacking. We chatted a few weeks ago about Alexa and Google Home and all of these remote things that we can have in our house to control the lights and the security and the, turn the oven on before we get home and things. And we had a demo where I was just, you can just say, Alexa, play my latest music tracks and she'll play it for you. They've been doing some tests where they've put a little supersonic speaker onto a Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge. And by getting this Samsung to say Alexa, and it then project the sound at supersonic pitch, you can't hear it, I can't hear it, but the little Alexa app can. So they're now thinking that people might be able to basically hack our houses without us hearing it going on. They'll be doing these supersonic commands, which might come over your telephone line or in the back of a computer message, and you wouldn't hear it, but it could be getting your computer to talk to your Alexa or Google app machine to do something like turn your security off.
House hacking, that sounds very scary. We talked about the temporary key that an Amazon delivery person can get to your home to deliver a package inside instead of outside where it might get wet or damaged or possibly stolen. But now we have the idea of hacking an entire house, and futuristic, but not in a good way whatsoever. Makes me kind of wish that I'll just go ahead and keep the old-fashioned metallic key to open my door, my regular security system, and not use any of this fancy-dancy stuff. Do you think it's going to set back technology and maybe cause people to think a few times before they buy something of the futuristic variety? Or maybe if they iron out the bugs, it could actually almost be a good thing because we've fixed the problems and addressed any potential issues or security concerns before it hits mass market. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that that same thing that we've discussed before is that, you know, we the general public, seem to be the beta testers nowadays. In our day, you know, when we started in IT, everything was thoroughly beta tested in order to mean that when it came to the market, you know, every single thing had been brainstormed and worked out. Now it seems that they just release it the minute they have the thought, and we're left to pick up the pieces. With more of us having IT in our houses, especially this Christmas, I think it's going to be quite frightening, some of the things that will be going on.
How much of an influence will this have on people's buying decisions? And is it like everybody wants the latest and greatest, but like with a lot of technology, as we know, Nick, you never really buy it the day after it comes out. You wait a few weeks for the bugs to be ironed out. And even at that point, sometimes they're still working on a few things, as we've seen with Windows 10, for example. And, you know, the iPhone, they constantly introduce these features. But many people feel that the iPhone is still a couple years behind the Android in technology. But it's ahead of the Android in pricing, for example. What are your thoughts on that, Nick? And again, do we need to maybe take a step backward and maybe look at some of the legacy or old-fashioned technology before we dive headfirst into something like this?
I think we definitely do. I think we need to look at what we've got and maybe do a little risk assessment and a little summary of whether we've actually got enough. I mean, the fact that, you know, it wasn't very long ago they bought out the iPhone 8, and now they've bought out the iPhone X for 10. They seem to have skipped 9 for some reason. You know, it seems to be technology for technology's sake. I always remember in the film The Man Who Fell to Earth, the David Bowie film, there was the concept that the alien had landed on the planet, and he released all the technology to the people on Earth and licensed it, but they gradually fed it out to everybody rather than just giving everybody the technology. And I often wonder how much technology they have ahead of what we have today that they are only slowly releasing to us rather than letting us have it all at once.
I mean, that's a good point, Nick. I mean, it's almost like people fall in love just because they want to be in love, even if the person that they're in love with is not a good match or maybe even an abusive relationship. It's like people get technology just because it's there. And, you know, when I was in school, it was, well, do you climb Mount Everest because it's there? Well, I certainly wouldn't because I'm afraid of heights, but some people might. And do we need to take a step back and realize, do you actually need this item? Now, someone like yourself or myself, we might end up trying some of these devices because our clients asked about it. Then we become an authority if we've used it. Not to mention that it might make our life easier. But to some people, it's like, well, the novelty is there. I'll go ahead and get the item. But if that item is not secure, if it's hackable, like we're talking about hacking an entire smart home, then it gets kind of dangerous. So, I mean, any warnings for our listeners about that? Yeah, again, look before you leap, so to speak.
I think definitely the look before you leap, and the thing that we've always discussed, which is it's when it comes out, that is not the time to buy it. Always wait, just check for product recalls, review the reviews of the reviewers as well, so that you know that the person who's reviewing the product isn't just, you know, an Apple employee, for instance. So double check that. But yeah, just wait. I mean, I have friends who were going to camp out to buy the iPhone X. You know, and this is something they haven't even seen it. They've just seen some odd review from somebody who got to look at it, you know, for a few minutes. It's very, very strange.
So people just buy something because it's there and not realize if it's actually going to benefit them. And as we know, a lot of the reviews are not necessarily paid, but they're kind of seeded by people who may work at the company or are paid or employees of the company or just stores that offer a particular item. And do check out your reviewer. Go to a website that you know is going to provide an unbiased opinion. We try to do that on the show. Of course, we both have our biases, but we try to look at both sides of the coin. And the glass isn't always half full. Sometimes it's half empty. Nick, with the holiday season approaching, did you have any tech items that you plan on purchasing for your wife or your daughter or any of your friends, things you think that might enhance their life?
Well, both of my kids have got more money than me, so I won't be buying them anything very expensive. Their present will have to be cute rather than expensive. But I don't think we will be buying tech, actually, this Christmas. I think that this Christmas is going to be more natural things, and probably just having some nice meals out and enjoying each other's company rather than teching it out. Because the big thing with tech is that it does separate you, doesn't it? It's not so bad now, but when my kids were younger, we would go out for a meal and you'd look round in the middle of a conversation and their two heads would be down while they were texting or WhatsApping or Facebooking. They've grown out of that now, but it can be a bit antisocial, I think, technology.
Certainly. As I say, the milk of human kindness and old-fashioned interaction, handshakes or even hugs. Sometimes we need those, and you can't get them from an item that works on a microprocessor. Of course, you have robots. I've heard of virtual boyfriends and virtual girlfriends, but nothing replaces a Homo sapiens, and we don't want to forget that. We talked about robotic lawnmowers and vacuums previously, and those things are nice, but again, no smart device is as smart as a Homo sapiens with a brain. We have to kind of remember that. Nick, this isn't really a tech topic, but we have Dr. Feynman on the mid-morning coffee break show. So I thought I'd talk to you about a topic that might be of international interest. Donald Trump and his lovely wife, Melania, visiting Asia. Any thoughts about that venture from your neck of the woods?
Only fear. A large amount of fear, I think. I mean, the guy has trouble with his personality in his own country, in his own language. I think that the customs and formality of most Asian countries, I think, are going to be very lost on him. He doesn't seem to do subtlety, which is quite an Asian trait, I would say. I'm generalizing, but subtler and more refined, I would say, rather than his brash nature. So I can't see how it's going to work at all. I really don't.
So Donald Trump in Asia might be analogous to the old bull in a china shop. Not really a good match.
Trump in a china shop, yes, definitely.
So anything else to share with us on the Adam the Computer Guy show? Nick, we've covered some technology, robot citizenship. I asked about the robot possibly getting deported. We talked on a previous show. Donald Trump's Asia trip. The iPhone 10, again, $999 American. I've had a few of my Facebook friends bragging about how wonderful it is and blah, blah, blah. Brandon and I talked about that also. Any of your friends purchased an iPhone 10 or the iPhone X? Again, the X, I guess, is Roman numeral for 10, but to me it stands for expensive. Any of your friends talking about their iPhone 10 on Facebook, or have you seen the phone in action?
I've had a couple that have got it, but I haven't seen it in action yet. But I did hear that it doesn't have any buttons. I like a home button, I must confess. As somebody who was never into Apple at all, as you know, I think when we first started working together, quite a few years ago, 5 years ago, something like that, I didn't do anything with Apple. But I have got into Apple for the same reason as we discussed, to try and be able to advise my customers and help my customers make decisions. So I have to know both things. And I do now use an iPhone and an iPad as well as my Android phone. But with regards to PCs and Macs, I have a Mac and several PCs, and I still use the PCs for daily use and only stay acquainted with the Mac. But I do sometimes find that they are fashion over substance. That's the only thing that I'd say about them. The aesthetics are very nice, but when they start taking away headphone jacks and buttons, I start to wonder.
So time will tell if the iPhone X or iPhone 10 will be a success. Certainly, it'll be successful for Apple shareholders if it does take off, and it certainly is successful for the stores and the places that are selling accessories. And you buy a $1,000 phone, you're going to buy a $79 case to put it in. So I think it'll be good for the economy, at least for stores that cater to those who have a higher income than myself. Last but not least, Nick, on the docket of topics today, you've been moving some more of your websites into this new kind of server that you and I are working on, the cloud-based server with a different kind of control panel. Any advice to our listeners about website hosting and just how to pick the best kind of a server now that we've seen some different varieties and different control panels, and which ones work better with some sites and than they do with others?
I think you're talking about my new Plesk server.
Yes, that would be the one.
Cloud one. The one that I'm in love with, Adam, as you laughed at earlier. Yes, it's an amazing thing. I can only just... you talk about being in love with technology. I am currently in love with my Plesk server. It's the interface is so much easier for doing the WordPress search sites that we do and tinkering with them. There's much less code. I can just flick switches and buttons, virtual ones, and it's, yes, the best thing since sliced bread, I would say. And I can't wait until I can migrate all of my sites onto these servers.
So for our listeners who are small business owners, organization executives, people that manage their website and choose a company to host it and program it, maintain it, secure it, especially having a control panel that lets developers like you and I control the site better, keep it secure, put in custom plugins that allow a website not only to provide the best information, look the best, and also be more search engine friendly. Working with your developer to get the best possible solution is always a good idea. And it's important that developers like Nick and myself are constantly kept abreast of what tools are out there do that job the best. That pretty much sum it up, Nick?
I think it does, Adam. Yeah, we are sort of pioneers in some of these fields because we always test things out, and sometimes they aren't necessarily the right things or the right way to go. But when they are the right way, then we push them and help support our customers to make the best choices. My customers will certainly be benefiting from these servers, which you discovered and passed on to me, and my customers can only benefit from that. So, yeah, great for the future.
Always nice when the customer wins, the developer wins, and of course the people that use the website, they're the most important piece in the puzzle. And hopefully the people that have used the websites of your clients, Nick, have benefited, have liked what the sites can do. I know you do a lot of sites for B&Bs there in the beautiful countryside of Wales in the United Kingdom. And hopefully the people that might want to make a reservation or look at the photos or find out about these B&Bs, that they've been able to acquire that information in the most user-friendly fashion. Plus, we've also found that these servers are faster. They do use an SSD drive, which, as we've talked about on previous shows, one of the best technological innovations that we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years. Before we close out, Nick, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, just another thing on those servers, which is the fact that you can incrementally increase the size and the speed of them on the fly, which I always wondered about, but is an amazing thing. So if you want a faster processor, you can just slide the button up and have a faster processor. If you want more memory, you can do the same. So marvelous. You don't have to have the system rebuilt.
Bottom so, line,
brilliant.
Right, for a small business owner, operator, or executive at a nonprofit organization, somebody looking to get the best possible website at the best, most efficient pricing schedule, ask your web developer what the best solution is. My website is adamthecomputerguy.com, and Nick is available at nickthecomputerguy.com. That's N-I-C, with no K. Thank you very much, Nick. We appreciate having you on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? In my server, serve and me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Go online to AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
And thanks, as always, to the fantastical... Is that a word? Well, we'll just make up a word. Because, you know, the president makes up a word, and it was lucky for him a year ago when he won the election. So we'll make up a word. Fantastical talents, because they are fantastical, of Mr. Paul Savage performing, writing... producing, although I helped to write it a little bit, but I would say Paul gets 85% of the credit. The Adam the Computer Guy radio show theme song, that's what I wanted to say. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. Anyway, the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, which is what your ears are currently tuned to, is coming to an end, but don't be sad. Hopefully, gosh, my tongue got a little twisted, but that's part of the fun of live radio. You make fun of yourself when you... do that kind of stuff. So, anywho, hopefully you enjoyed the segments with Brandon and Nick, some computer news, things going on in the exciting world of technology that we have all stepped foot into. News and features coming up next, obituaries, which are produced and voiced by yours truly, messages from our valued sponsors, underwriters, and supporters, and always a surprise or two. Because that's how we roll on the Talking Place, WWGH. That's coming up at the top of the hour, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Daylight Savings Time has ended. Standard Time is the current protocol. And then, drum roll, please, Dr. Ronald Feynman joins me for an hour of interesting political and historical discussion, which we call a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, discussing the latest goings-on and shenanigans at the White House, world events, some serious topics. Of course, we always joke around a little bit. Please do listen. It's coming up at the top of the hour, right after the news and features. Here on The Talking Place, 24/7 talk, news, and interesting features, WWGH Radio.